I'm sorry I didn't get to, I didn't get your name, but you are most welcome in our midst today. And I hope that you have enjoyed our worship together as we worship God. And we continue to do so even as we come to His Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. For those who were here last week, I started to teach on giving as grace. Grace giving. And we learned from the passages that we read from, that was 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We were in chapter 8. I know some people reminded me that last week I only began the verses I didn't give the chapter. It was 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where we read from and where we discovered Paul telling the Corinthian church that you have grown in many areas of your Christian life. You have grown in your faith. You have grown in your in the way you do things, in speaking in tongues and expressing spiritual gifts. But he tells them in verse 5 that you must excel. You must also grow in this grace. And the grace he was admonishing them to grow in was the grace of giving. Because giving is grace that God gives to us. And we know grace comes only from God. And God releases His grace on us. By grace, through faith, we are saved. And we walk, not by sight, but by faith. Grace is important because without the grace of God, we will not be forgiven. We are saved because of grace. And this is not of our own. So He tells them, grow in the grace of giving. Giving is something we must all grow into. If He tells them grow, it means our growth in giving can be stunted if we do not appropriate this grace that God releases to us in the correct way. He says the Corinthians, the churches in Macedonia were overtaken by this grace, that they had to lift an offering and send it to another church, whereas that church was still struggling. And he tells them that they gave beyond their means, which means also that giving is sacrificial. They gave. They were a very poor church. You can read 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You start to read from verse 1 through to 8. To 12 or thereby. You will discover that they were a very poor church. But because they grew in the grace of giving, it didn't matter at all to them for them to lift up an offering and bless another church. Because that's what grace does to us. When we receive grace, it is not for us to keep only, but also to give that grace to others. You have received the grace of forgiveness, so that you also might forgive those who despitefully and misuse you. Because we are full of the grace of God, we can do that. So, grace giving is growth in the grace of God. But it's also sacrificial that we do. And Paul encourages them that everyone must participate in the giving. Otherwise, it becomes a burden to those who are faithfully doing so. But he wasn't condemning them, neither do we condemn anyone this morning. But we come as a means of encouraging us so that we can grow in this grace. Remember, that's what he said to the church there. Grow in this grace also, the grace of giving. And he compares that God gave all he had. He had Jesus and he gave him to us. So, remember I said, we will move after we establish that grant giving is growing in the grace of God. And we all must be growing in this grace. Sometimes we'll be called to give sacrificially. But I want to move on to an aspect where giving is worship. That when you give of the things that God blesses you with, and when you give, you are actually in the act of worshiping God. So giving is an act of worship. When I give, I am worshiping God. So when the question becomes, is the Christian giving then into the treasury of the church on the Lord's Day an expression of worship to God? This is the question of supreme importance that we all must answer for ourselves individually. Ask yourself, when I give, what is it that I'm doing? Because if you don't know what you're doing, then you won't understand the implications of what God wants you to know. But when you give, you are expressing your worship unto God. In part at least, worship may be described as an expression of all or devotion and love that you are expressing love toward God, from man, the creature, to his creator. So when I give in the church, or wherever God inspires me to, because giving is not only in the church, God will prompt you to give something to a cause somewhere. When you do that as a Christian, your giving is always an act of worship unto God. One aspect of this reverential disposition can entail the presentation of gifts. When you give gifts, you read in the Old Testament that giving was exercised. But let me first of all tell you this. This point must be made. The Almighty God is entirely self-sufficient, which means he don't need nothing from you. He don't need nothing from us. In terms of our possessions, he doesn't. He's not going to starve. He's not going to die because we have not given to him. He is self-sufficient and requires no gift from frail humanity to sustain him in any way. We do not give so that we can sustain God. If we give with that in mind, then we have missed the act of worship and the expression of love toward God who first loves us. He's not saved by men's hands as though he needed anything. This is what he says in the Old Testament. He says, even if I were hungry, I will not ask bread from you. That's what God said. God says, if he were to be hungry, but he will never be hungry for anything. He is all self-sufficient. He said, if that happened, he will not come and ask bread from you. That's how self-sufficient God is. He cannot depend on our gifts. That's why when we give, it just becomes an act of worship unto him. We recognize God is worthy of our praise. And we give him. He is pleased, however, when we consistently with divine revelation exhibit the spirit of generosity. God is happy. Why? Because God is a giver himself. God always gives. So when I am giving, into the church treasury. When I give money or anything, I am only expressing that act of worship. So God is self-sufficient. Secondly, it is a fact beyond dispute that the act of giving can be an overture of worship. It summons everything that is all about us. I have been in meetings in my few years of ministry, and I have seen the church that is fully packed. Everybody is dancing, the music is great, and everybody is doing all they're supposed to do. But when it was time to give, the place goes quiet. But to balance with that, I've also seen when it comes to giving, people get up from their seats and they dance their way to the front to give and honor God. I don't know where you are on this scale, whether giving brings joy to you. And this is what God, in fact, requires of us. God loves a cheerful giver. And therefore, when we worship God, if giving is an act of God, God is not looking for someone who is going to worship him grudgingly, complaining. God loves a cheerful giver. In the Old Testament, you have to consider this. In the Old Testament, sacrifices to the Lord were designated as gifts unto God. When you brought a sacrifice, it was designated to be given to God. It was a gift unto God, and God, the sweet savor smell, God received that. He accepted your giving. Remember the first giving? We see it in the Garden of Eden, two brothers giving to God. One accepted, one rejected. Each brought a gift unto God. They did right in bringing their gifts to God. But it also matters in which spirit you give that gift. Because one was rejected and one was accepted. So when we give, we must give with the right spirit. When the wise men in the New Testament went to the place where Jesus was, first of all, their intention was to do what? To worship Jesus. That's why they went to that king and said, where is he that is born, the King of the Jews? For we have come to worship him. And when they found their baby Jesus in the manger, they worshipped him and gave him gifts. Did they not? They gave. And this Christmas, God, I was teaching on the, explaining on the type of gifts that were given and the importance of those gifts. But the point I want to make now is they gave gifts to baby Jesus as an act of what? Worship unto this child who was born King of the Jews. But Jesus was not only the King of the Jews. Jesus is the King of kings. When the wise men from the east worshipped the baby Jesus, their devotion was manifested in the form of gifts. You can check that from Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. When the Philippian saints gave their money for the support of Paul, you can find, can check that from Philippians chapter 4, verse number 18. God viewed it as an order of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. They gave, and God accepted that as an act of worship unto him. They gave it to Paul, but God accepted that gift which they gave. An inspired writer admonished us in Hebrews 13, verse 16, by writing these words, But to do good and to communicate, to be generous, that's what it means, to communicate, to be generous, forget not. You cannot be generous if you don't give. Can you? Then we can find another way for that. But Paul says, to be generous, do not cease to do that. Do not forget. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. A sacrifice is something that you give. And in this case, we, the human beings, bring sacrifice unto God. But remember, even when we do that, we are not the first to offer sacrifice. Who was the first? God was the first to offer his son, Jesus Christ, as a perfect sacrifice to take away our sins. That's why we don't have to offer now, in animal terms, sacrifices unto God. But God is the beginner. God is the beginning of any sacrifice. He gave his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when you read the Old Testament sacrifices, they were pointing to a better sacrifice that God will give in the person of Jesus. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament were pointing to the sacrifice that God will give. It was a gift. In view of the foregoing passages, it is necessary that we Christians are understand that we are under obligation not to neglect this aspect of worship. That's what we read in Hebrews 13:16. So we can conclude that if a man or a woman has refused to worship his maker, at least in this respect, then our worship has been neglected in that area. Worship is a vast area we can cover, and here we are only covering the giving of the gifts. But we can give. We can worship our God with our bodies. We can worship God with our talents. We can worship God by the way we live our lives, because a Christian life is all to the glory of God. We no longer live unto ourselves. We live unto him who died and rose again for us. So our life is a sacrifice. It's a gift. For those who have been here for a while, remember, I preached a sermon here that it is your body, but it is the temple of God. Which means what we do with our bodies, because we are supposed to offer our bodies as living sacrifice. You did not offer something that was already dead in terms of sacrifice. How does it translate in our giving? We cannot give God the leftovers. I think I preached a sermon on this subject, giving God the leftovers. When we've done all, we have done everything we wanted to do, and God is the last on the list. We give him the leftovers. God demands first place in our lives. Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth. First place. If anything occupies our heart first, then we are worshiping those things. When you read and compare the book of Hebrews, the priesthood or the Levitical priesthood and that of the priesthood of Jesus, you find that the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, is inferior, so to speak, to the priesthood of Jesus. And of course, when you read the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer talks about Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, who met Abraham as Abraham was returning from war. Abraham gave gift. He gave a tenth, actually, to this Melchizedek. And Jesus, the Hebrew writer here, tells us that Jesus' priesthood was not after Aaron's priesthood. Okay? It was after the order of Melchizedek, who had no beginning, who had no end. He had no kinsman. He had no one who said they are from his line. He was an eternal. And some theologians believe that that was the appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. We don't want to get into that. But Melchizedek was one who had no beginning, no end. He had no father. He did not have no mother. And Abraham paid homage to this priest and gave him a tenth of what he got from the spoils as he subdued the heathen kings who waged war against him. In a similar way, the writer of Hebrews identifies offering as an important way of attributing honor and worship, or anything else for that matter, to God. When we give, we are actually attributing that honor to God as an act of worship to Him. Many people seem to think that the reason we have an offering during the Sunday services is because the church needs to pay the bills and also wants to do good things with the money that is collected. It is true, your church needs to pay the bills. We are warm here inside because the heating is on, and the heating can only come on if we pay the gas bill. If we don't, it will be cut off. That is good. And sometimes you give because you want to bless the community. But that's not why we have an offering during the Sunday morning or evening services. What I'm saying is that's not the major reason for us to give. Remember, God says He's all sufficient. He's self-sufficient. Who's the owner of the gas? British Gas? I don't think so. I don't think so. Gas belongs to God. If you believe me, say amen. Gas belongs to God. He can simply say, let the gas flow. Helium Church building, and it will be so. But that's not the reason why we give. The offering is an act of worship. This is what I'm emphasizing. Giving is an act of worship, and an instance in which we are invited to give something that we value, our money, as a sacrifice to God. When you give, you are offering something that is of value to you. Again, it reminds me of King David. King David had sinned and he was going to offer sacrifice unto God. And he goes to this man. I think it was Uriah or someone else. And when this man saw David come to him and ask of the things to offer unto a sacrifice unto God, the king says, I will give them to you free of charge. And indeed, as a king, he was allowed to receive gifts from his subjects. But I love what David said. I will not offer anything that does not cost me something unto God. That's what he was saying. That I can only give something that is of value. Something that costs me something. That's what I'm going to give to God. I'm not going to give crap to God. I'll give the best to God. Because God does not eat from the plate of leftovers. That's what David said. And that scripture speaks to me all the time. It's a challenge that we cannot offer God something that which costs us nothing. We come to church to worship God, and at no other point in the service are we provided with so pure an opportunity to worship God other than in the area of giving. Of course, we sing. It's part of worship. And so should be when it comes to time of giving. That's why we do not separate the services. There is not only the service of praising and come next week for the service of giving. But when service starts, we start with singing, we start with praising. And I liked it when we took the communion here, people started to pray as an act of worship to God. That should be the same spirit when it comes to giving. Because it's part of the worship of God. When we give, we are expressing our love to God who has blessed us so with so much, rather. So when we are invited to put money in the offering plate on Sunday morning, it's not because the church needs our money, but because we want and need to give it. We want, that's an expression of our desire. I want to do it. And I want to do it because it is right. I do it because I worship God with all I have got, with my life, with my voice, with my testimony, with everything that I have got. I worship God. We worship God with everything about us. We have a spiritual need to worship God, and through our giving, we are able to express our love and devotion for God in a way that is simple and sincere. God wants us to worship Him with all what we have, or with all what we have got. That's why He wants all of us, not half of me, but He wants all of me to be dedicated to Him. The motivation of the giver is what counts most, not the size of the gift. You remember Jesus commended the woman who gave just a few pennies? It's your attitude. It's your attitude. And I think it flows very clearly and nicely without any problem. Because if I'm going to worship God, I have to worship Him with the right spirit. That's why we humbly come before Him and worship Him. Why? Because God will resist the proud and will give grace to the humble. The humble receive more grace. So when we approach God, we must humbly approach Him. The good news of stewardship is that church offerings are not fund-raising rituals. It's different. Worship is different from fundraising. When we fundraise, we challenge you. Give all what you can. But when it comes to worship, we invite you to come to the throne of grace and lay yourself on the altar and worship God. It's something that you do willingly. It's not something that someone has to squeeze out of you to do. Fundraising is not worship. But giving unto God is worship. Now, I know you are saying, isn't that the same? No, it's not. It has never been the same. For even the heathens do fundraising. They're not worshiping anyone. They just want somebody's money. But here we know when we give, we are worshiping God. It says, like sending a sweet savour smell unto God, and God accepts what we gave to Him in the act of worship, even as we give. So it's not a ritual, but acts of worship in which we are invited to express our heartfelt devotion to the God who is so good to us. God is good to us. I said, God is good. You're not even sure. Why do you sing the song, The Goodness of God, then? If you're not sure about His goodness. It's a lovely song. We sing it here. We might sing it tonight. But we are making a statement that God is good. And the scriptures teach that God is good. God is good. You remember somebody called Jesus, good master. And Jesus says, no one is good but God. So we know God is good. And when we give, we are expressing our devotion of worship unto a God who is good to us. God has always been good to us. God is good. Let me rush to my conclusion here. We started by looking at the grace of giving, and there we discovered that Paul encouraged the Corinthian church to grow in the grace of giving. 2 Corinthians verse 7 to 8, he says this. But just as you excel, just as you grow in everything and lead the way in the faith, you're grown in the faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in genuine concern. Although the church had troubles, there was some good stuff going on with these people. Paul says they had grown in faith, grown in speech, grown in knowledge, genuine in concern and in love for the apostles. See that you also grow in this grace, gracious work of giving. Grow in the area of giving. He's talking to you as an individual, but also he's talking to us as a corporate body of Christ here. We need to grow. And Paul says, I'm not saying this as a command to dictate to you, but to prove by pointing out the enthusiasm of others, the sincerity of your love as well. He says, I'm not condemning you. I'm not whipping you. Like some prosperity preacher will come and cheat you. If you do this, then God will do this. And if it doesn't happen, you're disillusioned. you have a breakdown, you don't want to do anything. So grow in this grace also. But the secret of the giving of the Macedonian church was this. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 8:5, he says, "For they first gave themselves to the Lord." That is the secret. Our giving without Jesus would not be an act of worship in this context. It only becomes an act of worship because you recognize what God has done in your life. That God has saved you. That God has protected you. That God has healed you. That God has a home for you. That God has always provided for your needs. That you ask Him and you call unto Him and He answers. And we worship Him. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And secondly, they gave themselves to the apostles and their teaching. They believed in the teachings of the apostles, that the scriptures that the apostles were teaching were true. Whatever they said about Jesus was true. They believed in the teaching of the apostles. But they first gave themselves to the Lord. And for us today, when we say, "I'm going to church to worship God," we are saying, "I'm not only going to sing, I'm not only going to dance, I'm not only going to speak in tongues. Yes, I'm growing in these things, but I am going to worship Him also in the area of giving because He has blessed me with so much." I know someone can say, "Well, I've not seen a greater blessing in my life that God has blessed me with." Really? Are you serious? You're here because He's given you life. He says we are not consumed because His mercies are new every morning. And we can sit here and say He has not blessed us. Really? Are you serious? God has blessed you with so much. When you give to Him, when you give to God, you are worshiping God. Just as much as you shout the hallelujahs, it's the same power that works when I give. And there's a blessing when you do such kind of worship in any area of our worship unto God. If you keep yourself pure, God will bless you. They grew in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in concern for others. But He said, grow also in this grace. Friends, giving is an act of worship. And I'm going to finish here on this note. Is it your desire that you would like to worship God with all you have? The only one who can stop you from such act of worship is you. You don't have to give millions. Give what is of value to you. If that's all you've got, it might be little, it might be big, but it all boils down to one thing: your heart's condition. That will matter. But giving is an act of worship. Father, I just want to pray